It's time to play either or today on Locked On Colts as we go over some of the most critical topics facing the team in the immediate future and which choice we'd make to address each of them. Let's get weird on today's episode of Locked On Colts. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you all for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Just pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their stat projections, then you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. I'm Jake Arthur. That is how I say my name. He's Zach Hicks. You know the two of us from horseshoehuddle.com. Today we're going to tackle some topics of the Colts' next head coach, their next quarterback, and then some of their impending free agents. And then we're going to tell you what we would do about a few specific scenarios involving each of those. So, Zach, you gave me some good ones here. I'm really looking forward. We'll save the best one for last on the coaching part. But we're gonna get started here with Eagles offensive coordinator Shane Steichen?
Yes, Steichen. Okay. Shane Steichen.
Yep. Shane Steichen or Detroit Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. And before I start, I think you and I are both pleasantly surprised with the slate of candidates we've heard that they're interviewing. I thought we would be a little more grim, but so far I'm into it.
Yeah, Derek Schultz and I were talking about it yesterday on the show about just, you know, we were scared that the Colts were going to go to the candidate type that's going to be all rah-rah guys, you know, only rah-rah guys, the opposite of Frank Reich, anti-analytics, run the dang ball, you know, stuff like that. We thought they were going to go really heavy into the old school football. But instead, we've seen a Chris Ballard-led search where it's been young upcomers, it's been analytically heaven-driven guys. There's been guys like Steichen, Johnson, Ajira, Evero, who are at the top of the game when it comes to what they're doing. And then even some guys with experience like Raheem Morris, who we're going to talk about as well. So very, very pleasantly surprised. And we're going to make things difficult for ourselves here on today's either-or edition of talk about these coaches. But yeah, Shane Steichen or Ben Johnson. I think if you were to ask me all offseason, like my top three coaching candidates just for any team this offseason, it would be Shane Steichen, D'Amico Ryans, and Ben Johnson. Like those would be my top three guys. So when it comes to talking about Steichen versus Ben Johnson, that's tough for me. I don't think you could go wrong either way. I'd probably be doing front flips for either one of those guys. It really depends on kind of what you value in your play caller type coach. You know, if you are looking more for the guy who is can help a mobile quarterback in the quick passing game and kind of get the most out of just spreading a defense wide and attacking the inside, that's all Shane Steichen. Shane Steichen has done a phenomenal job with Jalen Hurts, has really developed that offense to the point where it's one of the best in football. You have some numbers right there that you'll say in a second. And I think he's done a great job in that new age of just speed and spreading everything out. Then Ben Johnson is one of the most diverse and just awesome to watch run games, just powerhouse running game, running it right down your throat. But also there's a vertical passing game element behind that too. So I don't think you could go wrong either way. Shane Steichen probably has a little bit more experience, but Ben Johnson, if you want rah-rah guys, he's working under Dan Campbell, probably knows a little bit more about the rah-rah stuff. I probably would slightly lean Shane Steichen, very, very slightly. But either one of these guys I'm doing front flips for.
Yeah, you said that perfectly. There is literally no wrong answer on this one. You look at what the Eagles have done with Miles Sanders, for one, having a breakout year of his own finally. Jalen Hurts coming into his own, an MVP candidate. They're getting the most out of their guys. A.J. Brown, awesome season. Devontae Smith, awesome season. Dallas Goedert, like that offensive line, awesome. That's an offense that's clicking on all cylinders, and you look at an offensive coordinator like that and you could say, what are they doing wrong? Because it's really right. hard to identify. As for the Lions, they are squeezing every drop out of that fruit there. You got an offense led by Jared Goff that is number 4 overall and number 5 in scoring. Jamal Williams led the NFL in rushing touchdowns. I forget. I think he was getting close to it, but I haven't checked. Did he get to 1,000 yards rushing too?
I'm not too sure. I know he got to 17 rushing touchdowns though, which is insanely high.
No one would have thought that leading into it. You know, you've got Amon-Ra St. Brown has been awesome under that regime. They're just doing so well. And no one would have thought a Jared Goff offense outside of being with Sean McVay would have done that. And the limited stuff that I've seen from the Lions, I love some of their play designs and some of the just creative things they do. So zero wrong answer to me. I would be ecstatic with either option. I think you're right. It kind of depends on the quarterback you're going to go with. But just for the sake of disagreeing and going the other way, I'll go with Ben Johnson. I think that probably... Ben Johnson probably appeases Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay more.
Yeah.
If you look at someone who they'll both check off on, that's probably what it is. Because they also interviewed Dan Campbell when they were interviewing Frank Reich.
Right. And one little thing I'll add to that before we get to our next candidates, because I know we're running short on time here. Ben Johnson does have a connection to Clyde Christensen when they both worked together with the Miami Dolphins. Clyde Christensen, if you guys remember, in the glory days of the Colts, was kind of the do-it-all everything, you know, QB coach, offensive coordinator, a lot of different things during the Peyton Manning era. So maybe they're getting, you know, a vote of confidence from Clyde Christensen in that. I'm not too sure exactly, but that might be the case there.
Yeah, and you know they lean on what their past players think.
Yes.
Going to the next one, it's another good matchup. Ejiro Evero versus Raheem Morris. That's the Broncos D coordinator versus the Rams D coordinator. A couple of exciting guys. Evero is a young up-and-comer, first year as a D coordinator in Denver. You look at, you know, I've said this year the Broncos and Colts are kind of comparable. High expectations. Mm-hmm. The defenses lived up to those expectations, but ultimately the offense has totally failed them, and that is what dictated the season. But the defense at its best looked awesome. Raheem Morris, the Rams obviously had a down year, but they also just came off the Super Bowl the year before with an awesome defense led by Morris. So
yeah.
I don't know. What do you think on this one?
So this one's actually a more interesting debate for me because it is two vastly different candidates. One, you got Evero, who is an up-and-comer, who is one of the top guys at what he does, which is calling a defense and being unique with it. He's probably at the forefront of this new Fangio quarters thing that we're seeing around the NFL. Like, he's the poster child for it. So we're seeing a lot of good things from him, and I think he would be able to bring just an amazing defense to the Colts. Raheem Morris, though, is more of that veteran guy who's been around the league since 2002. He's been a coach in the league. He's had a head coaching stint before. He's had an interim head coaching stint before. And while they weren't super successful, he does have experience leading men and being that leader of men. And he could probably build a stronger staff than Evero. You know, he is more equipped to be that, I'm going to let my coordinators do their thing because I'm going to bring guys from the Shanahan tree or the McVay tree or the Dan Quinn or Monty Kiffin type tree to be defense. He could build a really, really strong and experienced staff and just sit back and be the motivator, rah-rah head coach that we think the Colts might want to go for. So I could be talked into either way. Personally, though, Raheem Morris was a coach that I've just loved for a long, long time. He worked with Washington back when I was a Washington fan and really close to that team. So my heart says Raheem Morris, my head says Evero. So I'll lean Raheem Morris just a little bit here. Just again, I love the staff he could build, and I just have such a soft spot for him as a guy and as a coach. But again, I would not hate either one of these options here for the Colts.
Yep, another one where there's no wrong pick. I think I also would lean Morris as well for a lot of the same reasons you said. He's already got those connections around the league, and he has the experience. You know, this obviously patience is wearing thin from Colts ownership, you know, and how much of a leash does Chris Ballard have anymore? I think Morris is probably the safer bet, but also still offers a ton of upside. He's learned a lot, I'm sure, since his days as the Buccaneers head coach. He's worked with a lot of great players. He obviously has won a championship. That offense was great, but that defense was awesome as well. So I think I'd feel a little more safe with Morris, but totally willing to roll the dice with an up-and-comer like Evero. He has shown that he's really Evero.
Either one, you say.
Can't get these names right anymore. Evero, he's shown that he can run a unique defense and be very successful. I forget what the stat was. I think if the Broncos offense could just score like 18 points or something, that they would have had like an awesome record because of Evero's defense holding opponents to such crappy offensive performances. We saw that Colts, what was it, 12-9 or something, is the field goal game in overtime. We saw that defense up close and personal. So really no wrong option there.
Yeah, for sure. And then our last one we have here before we have to get into our next segment here, because I know we like to run things a little long, but Jeff Saturday or Bubba Ventrone. Now, this is the only one, I think, where there is a wrong answer. The wrong answer by far and away is Jeff Saturday. Bubba Ventrone, guy who's been in the league for a long time, who's coached in the league for a long time, who has the trust of Chris Ballard, who's the guy who Chris Ballard really would want to be the head coach instead of Jeff Saturday. And we've seen what happens with Jeff Saturday as a head coach in the interim, at least. It was really, really bad. So, yeah, I don't think this one's even somewhat close. I think Bubba Ventrone is the easy answer here.
No, if you ask anyone not named Jim Irsay, I think there's an easy answer. Ventrone should have been the interim coach. People inside the building wanted him to be the interim coach. He has had relationships with those players since 2018. Being a special teams coordinator, he's worked with pretty much each unit of the roster. He has relationships with those guys. I've personally talked to several players who want to play for a guy like that. They love what he brings. A lot of the things the Colts like about Saturday, Bubba does, you know, he brings the same thing. Former player, holds guys accountable, high energy, but, you know, he's not going to give guys a free pass. He demands things to be run cleanly before you can move on to the next thing. Right. And, yeah, but Bubba in a landslide for me. I wrote about him this morning, and Zach's wrote about pretty much all these guys that we've talked about so far. So definitely go to horseshoehuddle.com. But before we move on and talk about our preferences on certain quarterback options, we want to tell you guys about our friends over at betonline.net, which is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From pro football to college bowl season to basketball and the World Cup, they've got it all at betonline.net. If you love sports podcasts, then you can even find those over there as well. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.
And guys, we're also really excited about our next sponsor of today's episode, the mobile game Ultimate Football GM. If you've dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your football franchise, then your dreams can come true, and this game is definitely for you. Manage every strategic aspect of your team, play through the season, and lead your team to glory. You're responsible for hiring the right coaches, trading players, making draft picks, navigating franchise for the offseason, and all the ups and downs of a season. Don't be like Jake. Don't get fired. Just keep rolling through it and do the best you can to turn the Colts around.
I broke the game. I'm pretty sure I haven't been able to play it since I got fired.
Locked On Colts listeners can get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using promo code Locked On in all caps in the game store. That's Locked On in all caps. So make sure to check it out today. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com. or look it up on your app stores. That's ultimate-gm.com. Old Football GM, start your dynasty today. All right, so now we're going to do some either-ors with the quarterback position. We got two pretty serious ones and then one mostly joking around to finish up. But our first kind of serious one, you know, the Colts are going to be picking fourth overall in this draft. They're going to be in prime position for QB1, maybe QB1, QB2 in this class. You know, they could maybe move up to number one and get the top guy. We never know. They could, you know, so many weird things happen on draft day. So we're going to start with the top two guys, Bryce Young or CJ Stroud. Now, Jake, I know you're not as knee deep into draft season as I am, but from what you've seen or heard about either of these two guys, which one more appeals to you?
Yeah, this one is tough. And I'll tell you the main issue I have right now is just Bryce Young's size, because I think that's what NFL teams will have the same issue. You know, he's sub 6 foot, I think, probably under 200 pounds. Is that right?
Yeah, I think the early estimates are going to be 5'11", 6 foot, and then like 185 at best.
So let's just say he's got Kyler Murray's size, essentially. And, I mean, Kyler Murray's size hasn't been the issue. He's been banged up to me. Like, he tore an ACL, which really doesn't have much to do with his size. So far, other than not having the vision to be able to see over things over the middle of the field, it's not much of an issue. So I think if you think Bryce Young is the guy, you got to go get him.
Yeah.
But do I think CJ Stroud is probably the safer guy? Probably. I think he showed a little bit from what I've seen in the playoffs and such. He can move around. He could be deadly pinpoint accurate. You know, he's played with some awesome talent. So if you give him weapons, you know what it looks like, and the offensive line as well. Bryce Young, I'd be on board with them. If they see him being the guy and they want to trade up to one to go get him, I'm okay with that, because I think you roll the dice on that. And if you win, if that hits, then you have an awesome player. CJ yeah. Stroud, you may be settling just because you're scared of Bryce Young's size.
Yeah, for sure. I think either one of these guys I could be talked into. I think if you asked me before the college football playoffs, I would probably easily say Bryce Young. I felt a lot more comfortable off of the tape from this past season saying Bryce Young is the better prospect, even with the size concerns. But CJ Stroud showed something that, you know, we haven't seen since maybe early in his freshman season, was how well he was able to move within and outside of the pocket against Georgia. I don't know where that CJ Stroud was the entire season, because the CJ Stroud I saw on film all year was a guy who struggled with pressure, a guy who made panic decisions under duress, and who really didn't look like he had that great of an arm when he was on the move, because everything just looked so panicked when he was outside the pocket. You get that Georgia game, and it was one of the best college games I've seen from a quarterback in a long time. You know, it looked like Joe Burrow back in that legendary 2019 season. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal game. Yes, there were still some low lights when he was under pressure, but for the most part, CJ Stroud looked like an awesome, awesome quarterback prospect. So either one I'm happy with. I would still probably lean Bryce Young slightly, but I think CJ Stroud closed that gap quite a bit in that college football playoff game. Now, the next group of guys that we're going to talk about, either or Will Levis or Anthony Richardson, both very high, you know, high ceiling prospects that have very, very low floors. You know, if you go to the thinking of how you evaluate quarterbacks. But Jake, who do you like in this prospect battle here between Will Levis and Anthony Richardson?
Yeah, luckily I've had the luxury of listening and reading your work on those guys. I think I'm going to say Richardson. And with an extra wrinkle is that they could slide down a little bit and probably get him as well.
You got to be careful with that, though.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Stay in the top 10. But if you add another day two pick out of that or something, that's extra gravy right there. But no, his ability to run the ball, and you're going to have to wait and play catch up with the passing, of course, which probably means you might have to get a bridge quarterback. But that upside is deadly. I think that's something I'd be willing to bet on.
Yeah, no, I think it's dangerous to say this. It is. It's dangerous. We warned about it in 2018 when it was happening. But if you look at every single thing that led to success with Josh Allen, Anthony Richardson is set up the same way. Similar final year stats, similar inexperience, similar arm, similar inaccuracy issues, similar mobility. I really think if you have faith in your coaching staff and you have faith in your process and faith in developing someone, Anthony Richardson can be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, maybe a top 5 quarterback. He's that talented, but it's going to take a minute. It's going to take a minute.
You gave us a poll quote for the episode right there.
That's true. I know he's such a polarizing player, and so many people will go back and forth. I know the comments will kill me, because I know a lot of our comments on here have been Anthony Richardson's not an NFL quarterback at all. You guys have been very adamant on that stuff. But I think Anthony Richardson has really high upside, but I also like Will Levis. I've said this multiple times. Will Levis is a guy where, yes, you get shades of Blaine Gabbert and Carson Wentz and Jake Locker, because you just see these big white quarterbacks that have strong arms and bad accuracy. And oh my gosh, all the busts that we've seen with that archetype. But Will Levis, one thing that stands out a lot to me and why I really like him as a person, as a player, is that we saw a very different quarterback from his time at Penn State, where Penn State, he was a wildcat backup quarterback to Sean Clifford. He spends a whole offseason before he goes to Kentucky with a biokinetics mechanics expert up there in Canada, reworks his entire throwing motion, adds a lot of torque in his hips into his upper body, and he's comes down to Kentucky and he's throwing nuclear passes down the field. Looks like one of the most gifted arms ever. He drastically changed an aspect of his game that was perceived weakness before. That's something you don't see from a lot of young kids. So I do really like Will Levis as well, but I am going to lead Anthony Richardson here. I really like Anthony Richardson. My last question here is, it's a fun one because I think there's no right answer with this last one that I sent you. So Stetson Bennett, fourth overall. So that way it's not like an easy, okay, like we're not giving much for Stetson Bennett, fourth overall, or another washed up veteran quarterback like Matt Ryan or Carson Wentz. Jake, which of these torture methods are you picking for yourself?
The electric chair. Thank you.
Yes.
No, I obviously this is a joke, but at number four, if you take Stetson Bennett, you should be thrown in the federal penitentiary.
Look, we'll say this. Stetson Bennett, great college quarterback, athletic player, good accuracy. He's Bryce Young's size, though, without the arm talent. Like, people, we're talking about Bryce Young's size. Like, Stetson Bennett's like 5'10", like 190, 180. Like, it's like the same thing. So, yeah, Stetson Bennett, fine late day three. Number four is ridiculous. But I wanted to see.
Didn't he stiff someone on a tip, though? Like, someone also posted a picture like he stiffed a waiter on their.
Oh, I don't know about that. That might just be so fan bases joking around.
Well, he probably doesn't put his shopping carts back either. It's like, you just can't have that. That's not good for the Indianapolis community.
definitely. But I wanted to see how far you guys would go to not have another veteran quarterback. So let us know in the comments, Stetson Bennett at number four, or another year of Matt Ryan. Let me know which one you guys prefer.
I want to hear those responses bad.
yes, for sure.
Oh, yeah. All right. So before we finish up, we want to tell you about our friends over at Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and the calories? Then you got to try a Built Bar. What makes Built Bar so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate, which is awesome. That's right, real chocolate, and they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. The latter, maybe not so much my choice, but the other ones I'm down for. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is they are healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. Head your nearest Walmart or Sam's Club to get a box now. You can thank us later. Okay, so our final either-or section deals with some free agents, both inside and out of the Colts organization. So the first one, a couple useful players here for the Colts, but not guys you can't live without. But still, a couple guys very much worth bringing back. You've got defensive end Yannick Ngakoue or wide receiver Paris Campbell. Who are you taking?
So I want to add a stipulation to this because I know a lot of people are going to look at Spotrac and be like, oh, it says you can get Paris Campbell back for $2 million a year. That's not happening.
No, you cannot.
He just had, I think, like 650 yards and like 5 touchdowns. Like, he is not going to be back for just $2 million in this wide receiver market. No. So let's add this stipulation. 1 year, $10 million for both players is the deal that you can have them sign.
That's within the realm of possibility for both.
It's slightly high for Campbell and slightly low for Ngakoue. It's around the same. So we'll say exact same contract, 1 year, $10 million. Who you taking, Paris Campbell or Yannick Ngakoue? I'm signing Paris Campbell. Mm-hmm. I'm signing Paris Campbell. I think, like, don't get me wrong, a pass rusher who can get sacks is valuable, and Yannick Ngakoue can do that. But Paris Campbell finally showed something this season. And if I'm not committing more than 1 year's worth of money on him just to get him back in this locker room, I'm 100% going Paris Campbell there.
Yeah, same here. I really like what Ngakoue brings. You know, he's going to give you the 8 sacks a year. You never know how they're going to come, but he'll get you there. But no, Paris Campbell, you've been waiting for what happened this season, basically. 17 games. I thought he was one of their more consistent players. I think he's only like 6'6", so like you don't think of him as the big body type, but he attacks the ball. He's going to give it an effort on every ball you throw him. Obviously great after the catch. His speed is still there, even despite all the injuries. Generally sure-handed. I'm all for it. Bring Paris Campbell back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our next one here is a cut either or. So two contracts that I think a lot of Colts fans would like for Colts to move off of, I think, in the near future. Kenny Moore, the second slot corner, would you rather cut him? Or Ryan Kelly, the center, where I think Ryan Kelly, it's like a total of like nearly $5 million in dead cap over the next two seasons. Kenny Moore, there's zero dead cap if they cut him. So that adds a little wrinkle to this. But Jake, which one are you taking in there? Who are you cutting?
Honestly, the reason they're both on here is because there's a good case for either of them. But I think I'm going to do it with Kenny Moore.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think he just needs to be freed and get a fresh start. I was there in the locker room. We were talking to him on Monday. He was very reflective and seemed like a guy who was reflecting on the end of his time in Indy. That's not a guarantee because, I mean, he still has a year left. But I just get the impression that he would love to play for Matt Eberflus again. He holds him in high regard. Just let the guy go, be happy again, regain the spark he had, and just put him back in a system that he flourished.
Yeah, yeah, I love Kenny Moore the second, one of my favorite players. You guys obviously know that, but I do think it's time to move on, especially it can be done with zero cap. You know, maybe it's a trade this offseason for like a day three pick, but yeah, I get it. And it's also easier to replace a slot corner than a center. Even if Ryan Kelly's playing like a below average center of late, that's a lot harder to find than a slot corner, even a slot corner of Kenny Moore's ability. It's just, you know, we're seeing undrafted guys, Tavares Thomas down in Houston, Michael Carter the second with the New York Jets, like a lot of guys coming out of nowhere to be decent slot corners. So yeah, I'd probably lean Kenny Moore the second here, which is tough, but yeah, I'd probably lean that there. But our last either or that we have for today's episode is free agent related. Who would you rather sign? Now, you actually have some players listed here, so I'll let you read the players off with it, but sign a starting wide receiver in free agency or sign a starting right guard in free agency. Which one are you going, Jake?
Gosh, I really don't care if they do either of these. I'll be honest, because I think like the guys they have, I'm okay with. You know, you've got some options at receiver, you know, like Alan Lazard, Juju Smith-Schuster, Jacoby Myers, nothing terrific, you know, like some serviceable guys who are pretty much on the level of guys they already have. Right guard, though, we both like Will Fries. He's improved a great deal. But if you can get someone like Isaac Samalo from the Eagles and that awesome offensive line, Trey Turner to compete with Fries, perhaps win that job. Those are a couple good names. I think just in terms of the upgrade, because you're not going to get a big upgrade in the receiver pool, I would probably go and get like Samalo to play right guard for you on the offensive line.
Yeah, I think in a perfect world, I would rather sign a vet receiver and draft another right guard to compete with Will Fries. But again, you don't know how the draft is. You can't operate in free agency like you know the way the draft is going to go. That's how you get left with rookies starting across your whole team like the Colts have in some recent years. So yeah, I do think it's kind of tough to have that mindset with it. So I would probably lean starting right guard or just competition at right guard too, for the sake of this hypothetical. But I do think the Colts need to add just another veteran wide receiver behind those top two or top three guys, which, you know, if they keep Paris Campbell, I'd still like a veteran at wide receiver four, just someone who knows how to get open and who can do multiple roles. And maybe a guy like Lazard, who's actually a really good blocker, because they lost a lot of impact when Zach Pascal left. They lost a big heavy part of the blocking that wide receiver. So I think they need veterans at both spots, but I think veteran right guard is probably the way I would lean right now too.
Yeah, and honestly, that kind of leads me to saying that's something I hope Chris Ballard learned and from this season, is making sure he has insurance around guys that he's proclaiming to be the guy. Because he said he thinks Bernard Raimann can be the guy at left tackle, but didn't necessarily follow it up with, but we need to get competition for it. We've seen that's very dangerous to crown Matt Pryor and Danny Pinter as the guys at those respective positions, because one of those is one you just asked me about, right guard. So Yeah. Yeah, obviously just a little side tangent there, but I think that is it for us. We're going to be back with you guys tomorrow to keep chatting Colts offseason. There's obviously new Colts head coaching rumors coming out all the time. We're working feverishly here at horseshoehuddle.com to bring you guys updates on that. So stay tuned, and we'll obviously give you the latest here.
Yeah, make sure you guys are following us on social media at Locked On Colts, at Jake Arthur NFL, and at Zach Hicks 2 on Twitter. Also, subscribe to the Locked On Colts podcast on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. We'd also love your guys' ratings and reviews. You guys have been great lately. You guys over 2,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is awesome. Thank you very much. And let's keep going to those next milestones. And thank you guys for making us your first listen of the day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On NFL podcast, bringing you the local insights that you love, the national spotlight with daily conversations on the biggest NFL stories. Locked On NFL, available on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys tomorrow.